right, welcome to the KBJ Aperture Podcast.
Kevin's eyes look insane, but he's got new hair. Virginia is a witch, and she farts in her chair. Jason is a spaz who's got an old man's ass. Welcome to the After the Show Podcast.
Oh, we're starting off the podcast. Jaber was over there busting out some Black Crowes, Virginia. I was like, oh man, I used to kind of be a big fan of the Black Crowes. That album, I think it was Shake Your Moneymaker, was the one that had Talks to Angels and all those songs on it. I was a senior in high school, and I remember the crew that I was with at the time was, you know, we'd listen to that a lot.
They did a cool thing on Howard Stern. He always has artists on, and they explain where the songs come from, and then they'll perform. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
If you're into songwriting and music and all that.
I've lately really started to get into some band documentaries. I had watched one on the Foo Fighters. I saw one on Oasis, some of my favorite bands, last night. I watched the one they have on the Beastie Boys. It's on Apple TV. And it was just really cool. I just, you know, when you start thinking about that, and especially just in the context of your own life, you think about where you were when those songs were being made and what they were doing. And, you know, it all really kind of does tie together.
That's what I do sometimes when if we're getting ready, or just if you're chilling at home, you get a couple of drinks, you start listening to music, I'll pull some stuff up on YouTube. And you start reading the comments, especially on some of the old stuff, and there's some depressing fucking comments about, oh, I was in 12th grade, I was dating Linda, man, she had the nicest ass, we were so in love, fuck, I miss 12th grade. And then yeah. Like, now my life sucks.
My wife's ass is terrible.
Yeah, it's all these depressing comments.
Oh, that's tough.
But talking about how they love this song, and it brings me back to that time, man, fuck, my life is terrible.
I had, there are a lot of people that I grew up with, a couple of my close friends in high school, and it really, even as we were just like in college, they were big reminiscers, and still to this day, I got this one guy, he's one of my best friends all throughout high school, he just, the second we got out, he's like, man, these were the best days of our life, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, life's not over, man, I'm like, you're freaking 19 years old, man, like, just there should always be a new level of excitement and fun. And, you know, even today when I just hear from all the conversation, it's just everything from 9th and 10th grade. And I'm like, well, what about now, man? What are you doing?
If fucking Wilkerson didn't break his leg, we would have won state. We would have won state.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's kind of tough. And it is neat. I mean, I do like to be – to have those little – and I know now people kind of like going back to a better time. And I do understand the appreciation of that. But I do think it is a dangerous rabbit hole to go down where everything you do is nostalgia and there's never any current. That's why, to me, I will dabble in nostalgia and I'll listen to some of the old stuff I used to listen to in high school and college and into my 20s and stuff like that. It's fun to go back, but I still am always trying to listen to new stuff that I can connect with so that, hey, I'm still doing stuff. I'm still hopefully going to have memories. And in 10, 15, 20 years, when I hear the songs I'm listening to now, it'll remind me of the time that my kid graduated college or my son started, you know, doing whatever.
I listen to a shit ton new music. I really do. But
yeah.
If I start talking about it on the air, no one's going to know what the hell I'm talking about. Because these are basically singer-songwriter stuff that sound like it's from the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
There's people doing that today. And that's just not commercially viable these days.
Is your friend still there in Logan, the one that you speak of?
No, he left. And I'm not really sure. I think something happened. I'm not sure necessarily what. And because we don't talk about anything current, every conversation that we ever have, whenever we do speak, it's always about
senior year.
Yeah. And so, yeah, mysteriously, he moved to a different state. And I'm not sure why.
What state is it?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's why. No, I'm just kidding. That's weird. I wonder what happened.
I don't know,
drugs?
Virginia.
Because, I mean, it's fun to look back on nostalgia, but if he was saying that when y'all were younger, and he's always said that, I mean, I think you become a self-fulfilling prophecy, too, sometimes, where you're like, oh, best days, we're 9th and 10th grade.
I agree, yeah.
And then you kind of don't try to do better than
right.
that.
Right. I think that's why I think it's dangerous. Yes. A little bit of a rabbit hole to go down. There's nothing wrong with reminiscing. I think you should, because it's awesome. And that's why every step of the way of your life should be something different and exciting and fun. And no part of your life should be so incredibly much better than any other part of your life. Otherwise, to me, you're not living a full life. Like, your end days should hopefully be as fulfilling as your beginning days and everything in between. And there should be a soundtrack to that. That's why, to me, always trying to find new stuff to add to the soundtrack. Because you're right. I think that you might say, well, it's all just I'm in cruise mode and I get fat and then just one day I die.
With that said, though, and I agree with you, I think there's a certain point in your life where nostalgia can be a very big benefit. The older you get, there's been studies shown people that are in nursing homes, and you start bringing stuff from their past and movies from the past, music, their moods, they escalate. They respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a place for it.
It is powerful, but to me, I will tell you that honestly, I listen now to music from 2005 or 2010, and there's a part of nostalgia that kicks in then where I'm like, those songs are now 10 or 15 years old, but I'm like, oh, I remember my kids were that old. If I hear like I hear Ludacris Stand Up, and I remember when Colin and Caitlin were about like 4 years old, and they'd be in the back, and I'd teach them, I'd play the song, and I'd be like, when I move, you move. In the back, they go, just like that. And they had this choreographed little routine. But, you know, when I hear that, you see what I'm saying? There's still nostalgia.
Yeah.
You don't teach them, that. I want to lick you from your head
Didn't
to your
to
toes.
One, yeah.
And I want to move from the bed down to the floor. And I want to.
I remember we did a bit that had the kids.
I feel good. I don't want to leave.
We did the Kidz Bop version of that. Remember that bit we played? It had the Kidz Bop version of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
How?
It was kids that were singing that part of it.
I want to lick your lollipop.
Like green light that.
Yeah, it was funny. We had all these kids doing like inappropriate songs. That was like, yeah.
Some of those Kidz Bop songs are. I don't know how they don't punt on them.
Mm-hmm.
On some of those songs.
Well, you've got a lot to choose from, Kidz Bop. Like, don't pick anything so blatantly sexual.
That's talking about the coochie or the dong.
Ron in the chat room wants to know what's wrong with Pennsylvania, Virginia.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't mess with people from Pennsylvania.
It was a Pennsylvania joke.
Don't you have an ex from Pennsylvania? That's the joke.
I do.
My dad's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Became a man in Pennsylvania.
I've had fun times in Philadelphia.
I love Pennsylvania. My dad lived out in the country area.
Yeah.
And that's my kind of living, baby.
It's God's country.
It's beautiful.
There's a Philadelphia chapter of Little Smiles. So every year we go there for their big Stars Ball. They do a Stars Ball.
Yeah.
And we throw down.
My dad's on the Pittsburgh side. Pittsburgh and Philly, they're always at odds with each other.
They do have a different vibe.
Screw you, Philly. Oh, fuck you, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is a little bit more kind of like Midwest, kind of like a vibe, a little bit of hunting vibe, and then your Philly is a little bit more like metropolitan New York, East Coast vibe.
I gathered that real quick, even as a nine-year-old. I figured that out.
Yeah, they're very different sides of the state. Let me see here. Got a quick question from a Jason who said, on the show last week, you'd mentioned that you were planning to do a talent show for the KBJ Happy Hour that you do on Facebook today at 5 p.m. I was wondering what happened. Yeah, I think probably with that, because I talked about, I'd like to learn a card trick and all that kind of stuff. And I would. I think it'd be fun to do it. One, I don't really have any other talents to exhibit right now, and I'd like to do a card trick or learn something like that for it. I'd like to do it. But, as it is right now, just doing all the extra show stuff that we're doing, I just don't have extra time to
Easy to get burned out. Trying to learn take time to learn a skill for a 5-minute segment.
Any bit I'm trying to do, I'm like going, how long is that going to take to execute? Because already, pretty much about every minute of every day is just trying to get enough content for the show. So, hopefully if we get a window, we'll wind up doing that. But if anybody else has a talent that they want to do, let us know, and maybe there's a way we can drop in videos and stuff like that. I know we could do that. Then maybe that's something we could throw in.
Sucks, because I learned the fucking tuba last week. Just kidding.
I think my best skill is drinking, so I'll be doing that at 5.
Speaking of, do you want to crack this bitch open or what?
What is that? That's the bourbon,
I don't think I've ever had. I think I had Jim Beam when I first started drinking. I do not remember this. You're taking me home?
Sure, or Kevin. He said he would too.
Oh, that's right.
What is it?
You have two girls offering to drive you home.
Jim Beam bourbon whiskey. I'm interested to see if it goes down smoother than that Jack Daniels. That Jack Daniels is some bull junk.
Did you drink it hot out the bottle?
I always drink my whiskey hot.
Okay.
Yeah, I eat my food cold and drink my whiskey hot.
I think that's not. I think it's called neat. When you just pour it right in a glass and drink it?
Yeah, there's people, the men where I'm from, they drink a lot of Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, and Wild Turkey, I think it's
called.
Wild
Turkey, that's another one people keep telling me.
They drink a lot of that kind of stuff. And I had had it, and I just that's when I realized I'm not man enough for this part of the world.
We have a bunch of shot glasses. I gave them to Denny's.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look for a shot glass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his. I'm not going to have any. Are you going to have any?
I don't know. I mean, I've had all that stuff when I was like high school, college age. And it just, I can't imagine. I'd be like, now I'd be like, wow, that's really good. I can't do that.
Set yourself up. I'm a pass.
Okay.
Who's going to drive you home if we all get drunk?
Denny's.
Just do a shot. I want to see how it compares. You got to tell me how it compares to the Jack Daniels that you did not care for.
Yeah.
I need it. Yeah, what do you got for a chaser? Oh, I got
only 2 cases of soda I bought you.
That's right. I am soda. I am drink rich right now. Vicious V did me right. To Vicious V, to the witch.
Yeah. Down the hatch, huh?
Fuck, it's awful.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible.
I thought so.
A terrible drink.
It
it's
is.
Tough to do, isn't it?
Oof.
Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Chase with Hawaiian punch.
Ooh.
Very classy.
Yeah, very.
Rough.
Yeah, that was rough, man. That was not very good. That was not a good moment.
You know, I saw they're coming out with the new White Claw.
I saw that too. What is it, a low cal?
Yeah, it's going to be, which I mean, low cal, I mean, they're already only 100 calories each, and now this one's going to be 70 calories, and it's going to be less alcohol.
Oh.
So, yeah.
What the
I'm just like, at this point, like, what are we doing? Like, because, you know, we have White Claw in our fridge, and like the other night I had one. It didn't make, I didn't feel any effect at all from the one White Claw. I
and
like,
you won't. You yeah, probably won't.
That, the reason- and that was 5%. These new ones are going to be 3.7. So at that point, I'm like, why are we even messing around? Because I drink a lot of seltzer water and stuff too, and it's kind of like that. But I drank it. I'm like, I feel nothing from this. And I'm like, why just not have a seltzer water at this point? So
the
what are we doing?
Nothing.
The reason why people get so smashed on the White Claw is because they think they can drink 9 of them because you don't feel anything.
Right, yeah.
And you have, but if you feel drink 9 of anything...
It does give you a different kind of buzz. I still, when I do even feel the effects coming on, like you could give me a blind taste test. It wouldn't even be something I could taste. I could just, as I feel myself and the alcohol hitting my bloodstream, I'd be like, yep, that's White Claw alcohol.
I agree.
You can feel it.
Yeah, just you're kind of a little bit like, yeah, screw you. It gives a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, you want to like kick a cat, and I love animals. And you're like, that's White Claw.
Yeah.
That ain't me.
Yeah.
That's all White Claw.
I just kind of think that you turn kind of cowboyish.
It's devil juice.
It is.
It really is. That's why, I'm like, I've been pretty much, I can't have more than 2.
Brings out the claws.
Yeah.
No laws when you drink a claws.
No, yeah, right.
There are laws, Virginia laws, and holy shit.
They're tough. What are y'all drinking on the podcast tonight?
I think Hawaiian Punch and Jim Beam.
Yeah.
I think I want to do beer. I think if I get into the liquor, I just get so drunk so quick.
You hear that, Kev?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to do beer. Now, is Craft Beer City in Jupiter open? Because they have a drive-through, and that way I don't even have to get out of my car.
Okay.
That's the cut for me.
Planning it all out, huh?
Well, if you want to come over, if you're taking me home, I've got Lagunitas. I got a whole case for you.
Oh.
That's incentive.
Free beer.
Payment for ride.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a whole case for you. Brand spanking new. I'll even wipe it off for you.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of emails that we got just on, you know, what's going on, where everybody is set. And I do appreciate that. In fact, Matty P, he sent an email, and he said that you need to check out this Plandemic. It's on YouTube. It's a little bit of a, I guess, one of those informative type things.
You didn't just fart, did you?
No. Okay. He said the word plandemic.
Oh, okay. Well, you looked at me. Something.
I looked at you because he said plandemic.
Okay. I thought
it's a buzzword, Kevin. It means that you don't think it's real, that it was like planned out and done on purpose. It wasn't an accident in a lab. And
yeah. And, you know, what there, and there's the two sides. And that's what I'm saying. I'm watching all the videos that are out there to maybe get an understanding of how everybody feels and why. And he said, you can't develop antibodies and have a great immune system by wearing masks and gloves, puts you further at risk by lowering your immune defense, I think is what that YouTube video is about.
What's the purpose of doing a plandemic? I mean, who's going to prosper? Who's going to make money off of that? Mm-hmm. Is the whole conspiracy, someone planned it? And then the big cats are going to get all the money from the medicine or from all the medical procedure. How does that work?
I think from what I'm hearing, and I don't know, that's why it's a really weird rabbit hole to go down. I don't go too far down them because I'm like, all right, this is just not.
Well, is it population control? I've heard people say that. Oh, it's thinning out people who are older. We're lowering the population control, and that would be a reason why.
Anything from that to Bill Gates and Fauci are, you know, standing to make money from this, follow the money trail. To China did this to wreck our economy, and they're going to rebound a lot better because they were more equipped for it. So that's all the conspiracy type things for it. And I'm not, so, you know, because look, I mean, you're never going to have proof and you're never going to know that. So I don't go too far down those rabbit holes. But, you know, just in the whole thing about finding out how you can make the best decisions for you and your family and how to approach, you know, this virus. I do watch all those. And, you know, so this something like this plandemic, I'll check it out if you're talking about that. Because I did see, and that is one of the arguments is, you know, some people are saying that you do boost your immune system by going out. And when you go out, you get, you know, these kind of like little things and that makes it stronger. Somebody was saying that, you know, an immunologist was saying, yes, by staying inside 2 or 3 months and not exposing yourself to different viruses, your immune system will become weak and you'll be more susceptible to get the coronavirus.
Other conspiracy theory I'm seeing, too, is that people are saying that this is a way for the government to control the people, keep them on lockdown so they can do other things. And That's just one of many other conspiracies that I'm seeing people talk about.
No, if you throw that side of it out, and that's where all the different sides are on it.
Well, some people think we're eventually going to get to a point where, okay, let's say you are leaving Florida and you're going into Georgia or Alabama. Now you've got somebody, if it got to this point where someone says, you cannot cross the state line until I see your license, and you have to have all this more of a police state kind of a thing.
Yeah, well, if you had to get the vaccine before you were allowed into different parts of society and you had to show paperwork for it, then that's the kind of stuff that when you're hearing the right wingers, they kind of freak out about, and they're like, well, I don't like that kind of tracking. I don't like that kind of society where, you know, you're going to be able to keep my whereabouts and you're going to be able to control me in that way.
It's just weird kind of talking about all this, being in the public eye and trying to talk about it. Because if I say, oh, man, I might do this, do that. Someone will be like, you're being selfish. You can't go out, blah, blah, blah. And then if I say I'm listening to Virginia law, oh, Bird, could be the pussy. So it's like you're damned if you do.
Yeah.
It's, be like, yeah, you know, social
distancing. That's true.
Social distancing is great.
Any position you take, somebody's going to tell you you're a fucking idiot.
I've been told a fucking idiot, or I've been told you're kind of a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what position you're taking. Somebody is mad at you for that.
That's why I think, to me, you just got to inform yourself. And then you just have to let it sit, think about it, and be like, okay, what seems to make the most sense to me? And that's why I am watching all this kind of stuff, and I'm letting it absorb, and I'm like going, okay, when I start shaking this all around in my head and it starts to settle, what really starts to make sense?
And if Virginia has an opinion on, people will question, well, what's her agenda? People always think there's an agenda behind something, and that's really, sometimes people are just going through the emotion of it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like political with it. I'm just trying to stay safe and not die.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why I said, don't go down the rabbit holes of it's this or it's that, or it's, you know, Fauci trying to make money, or Bill Gates, or it's to destroy the economy. It's like, okay, that's even even, again, I would have no effect on that. Let me just understand this virus and how you deal with these things so that I can make good decisions of wearing masks, not wearing masks. How do I treat my immune system? Because that is something that I am really focusing on. I'm really going crazy on the vitamin D and C, and I'm trying to make sure I'm going outside, exercising, eating right, sleeping, all that kind of stuff.
Well, Denny's got a couple calls I thought were kind of funny that did not make the air. Someone said, you guys are fucking Fauci fans, not listening anymore. And then another call said, you guys are sexualizing Fauci, not listening to you. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, the Fauci thing. That
one person
came
thought
in.
We hated him, and one person thought we were sexualizing him.
No. I think one person said we love Fauci, and then some person said we're sexualizing Fauci, and both of them weren't listening to a program anymore.
Good. You shouldn't. I mean, if you don't like what you hear, then go find another program.
I agree.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No. I would encourage you. If you don't like what you hear, don't be a fucking moron. Listen to something else.
Not just during corona, but anytime.
When I'm watching or listening to something I don't like, you know what I do? I go to something else.
Yeah.
It's a real simple concept. I don't call them to tell them how much I hate them.
No, because usually the person that is saying they're never going to listen again, they're going to listen. They will. I'm sorry. I love hate listening to shit. I do. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do appreciate those, and I check out a lot of them. The ones that are real wacky, and they start off with like that, what is that, that third eye on the pyramid or whatever.
Yes.
I'm like, all right.
Illuminati.
I'm like, all right, I'm not going down this one.
Jay-Z said this is going to happen in his last song if you play it backwards.
Yeah.
He's like, fucking Illuminati.
I'm not going down that, but if it's something talking about your immune system, and that to me is an interesting debate because I've heard both sides of it. You know, exposing yourself and your immune system and this and that. I do see both sides of that argument.
Where are you set on the conspiracy theory that there is an Illuminati? Not with Corona, just in general. There is a more than a 1%, this 1% that is controlling everything.
I don't think it's that organized. I think that there's a power structure. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, it would scare you. And unfortunately, the world is kind of operated by, you know, people who have power and people who don't.
But you don't think it's some secret club that only
meet,
X amount?
No, and they show up here every month and they wear weird robes. And
chanting.
Circle jerk. Oh, your dick looks great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so not that far on it.
Okay. I like seeing where the Kevin Ralston set on these conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about it on the Weird Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're fat. Like I said, I don't let them take up too much space in my brain because you can't prove them, and if they were true, you can't do anything about them, so what are we going to do?
There's a lot that's fascinating with 9/11, but sometimes when you start talking about that, you start offending people. But there's some interesting stuff on the 9/11 conspiracy. There's some conspiracy stuff, and there's people that debunk it.
Yeah.
But there's that one where that tower falls, and the woman's behind it, and she's reporting about the tower and how it fell.
Yeah.
And this is not the two twin towers, but it's the one that there's a third building that fell. And she's talking about how it's fallen.
Mm-hmm.
But as she's reporting, that building's still standing behind her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, has that been debunked? I'm sure it has been, because that's such a glaring mistake.
Probably about 10 years ago I watched all those, but it's not fresh in my brain, but I do remember some of it. And I ultimately came back, I'm like, it's probably not true, and it's inconclusive if it is.
Well, there was a documentary done about how like a conspiracy theory, and then there was another follow-up documentary saying that was full of bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. So again, when it's all done, it's a spin cycle, and you know where you are.
Well, that's why you're asking always, who's doing the documentary? Who's
Where's the funding?
Yeah.
Who's paying for the production of the piece?
And that's why I don't spend a ton of time on those things, because you completely end up in the same spot from where you started.
At the end of the day, we're just trying to have a little fun over here.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. So I'll do it for that. That's about it. Let me see something to check out. There's a Netflix movie of a guy that was living in the attic space of a motel to watch the occupants. Crazy. I think it was called Voyeur. We were talking earlier about human resource stuff, and somebody talked about how there was a guy that was actually living in the ceiling of their place.
That's fascinating.
There was that one story you had where there was a guy living in the woman's closet for, I think, a week and a half. She had no idea. He'd leave and eat stuff when she was, you know, go to work.
If you've got like a spare bedroom that you don't ever go in, think about it. If you've got a spare bedroom, how often are you going in there when you don't have company?
I have a room right now where someone could stay there and I'd never know.
But they could hear you.
Yep.
They could know your schedule.
Watch
when you
me.
Leave, when you come home, and they could totally live in that spare bedroom closet.
And you could probably watch from that closet my bedroom. You could sit in that closet and see everything, Virginia.
It's sexy.
No.
No.
It's alarming.
Jacob wanted to know, he said, now that there's a lot of dicks on the show, I'm sure that somebody has a story. Has anybody on the show gotten their pud stuck in their zipper? I know Texerado Longhand would never have that happen, what with his two little dicks and all. But I'm sure it's a concern for anybody else. I've encountered the trouser snake bite before, and let me tell you, it will change a man. The pud pinch has to be the best argument against going commando. A long time ago, I think that it was a pinch, but it wasn't like in the movie. There's something about Mary where it's stuck, and they call the paramedics out, things like that. So yeah, but it's been a real long time. In fact, probably 25 years. And I still go commando.
I don't go commando a lot of times because, for whatever reason, I always forget to zip up my pants. And I don't need that kind of heat.
Yeah, you don't need the little mini snake winking at the ladies.
No.
That would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or the snails.
Got an email here from Holly talking about Kevin's mannerisms. Not only does he say, yeah, no, yeah, he says, that's just it. When ending a sentence, it's hot out, hopefully it will rain, that's just it. I make hash marks every time he says, I think 12 in one show was the record.
I make hash marks.
And that's awesome.
She's keeping track.
That's just it count.
That's funny. And that's just it.
That's just it.
I don't think I've ever, do you ever notice that?
Now that she's saying it, maybe he does.
But we'll have to pay attention now. Start doing the count. How many times do I say that's just it on average in a show?
That's just it.
Okay. Got Bess. She said, hey, I wondered if Jay Bird wrote the current jingle for Little Caesar's Pizza.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's big cash right there.
Yeah.
I did not.
That would be amazing. How do you get into that world?
You gotta kind of have an agent, I think, and they got to kind of do the work for you. If not, you're going to be big. I mean, you can do local stuff.
What's having an agent that works for you like?
I don't know. A lot of times local people will, they'll have somebody they know do it for a very cheap price because people will charge a lot of money for it. And it's unproven, and they're still going to charge money for it. And if you're, you know, a restaurant or like, my cousin plays guitar. He's got away with the earworm. Let's give him a shot. I think that's what happens, honestly.
Okay.
I think I'm drunk.
You only had one shot.
I'm a bitch.
Molly from Port St. Lucie talking about keeping guacamole from going bad. She said if you press plastic wrap right on top of the guacamole, it'll last longer. Keeps the air off of it. It usually works good on ice cream, too.
Do you like avocados
Yes.
as much as you like guac?
I think I would prefer guacamole. I think I enjoy that a little bit. It's just a different variation of the avocado.
Because the avocado is gross. It tastes like just a green slug in your mouth. Now, but when you start smashing it, put a little bam bam in there, now it's some good shit. Yeah,
texture change, yeah.
Ugh. Avocado is, Denny's loves that shit.
I like it on a burger.
Yes.
I like it on an egg, right. But you must have it salted. I can't do just plain straight up avocado. If you just give me a little salt, I'm fine.
Do you guys ever grow up on EOT? Egg on toast.
Oh yeah, EOT.
EOT. That was a big dish in the Pennington household. Did you ever have that?
Yeah, my grandfather used to make it, and he would call it Biddy on a Raft. I don't know why, but that's what I would eat whenever I go there. He would take a poached egg, he'd put it on toast, he'd cut it up, and then he would make sure that the sausage, and you'd take a bite of sausage with the egg on toast. It was great.
Yeah, if egg on toast isn't leaking, you've done it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Big Lake Park dish.
You're a big leaker, too.
Big leaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a nice experiences with Mr. Rogers. And just, you want to talk about leaving behind a legacy. I think sometimes it's not necessarily that you leave behind money or houses or even maybe a show like he did. It's the experiences and how you impact people. And this email from Aaron says, I heard you guys talking about people meeting Mr. Rogers, and I had to share my story. One of my mom's first jobs out of college was as a production assistant for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in Pittsburgh. On her first day, she actually was so excited, she accidentally overfed his fish and they died.
Oh, no.
She killed Mr. Rogers' fish.
Oh.
While she was there, her father was diagnosed with leukemia and passed away right before my parents got married. And since their wedding was out of state, Mr. Rogers couldn't make it, but he sent them a really nice rug that we put out every year for the holidays. The first Father's Day my mom had without her dad, Mr. Rogers sent her flowers. When I was five, she took me to visit him, and he gave me my own puppets. Even though I was so young, you don't forget the feeling of meeting such a magical person.
Wow. It sounds like he really was full of magic.
Just one person. How he impacted people's lives. And if you ever ask about your own legacy or what you can do in life, just how you leave people, the impact that you can have on them. Really something. I look at Groundhog Day, Bill Murray, when he finally got it, and that last magical day when he really figured out how to live life. Everybody that he sees that day, they walk away with a smile on their face. And to me, that's really the lesson, is that when you leave people, you leave them smiling and feeling better about themselves and about life than when you first met them.
He was married for 50 years until he died, and he had two sons.
Aww.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Mr. Rogers movie?
I have. For some reason, I just didn't want to.
It's good.
And I love Mr. Rogers, and I really like Tom Hanks.
The movie is very well done, and it's not all about Mr. Rogers.
I think maybe that's why I didn't want to watch it.
No, you should. It's really good.
All right. I'm going to do it tonight then.
It's complex and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like our
That's what you need after some Jim Beam.
Like our Virginia. Complex and beautiful.
Also got some good news here. Nancy sent us an email and said that I'd sent an email before about my mom. And she's finally out of the ICU and has moved into a room at Holy Cross Hospital in Fort Lauderdale.
Thank goodness.
So there you go. So it's very nice that she is there. So some really cool stuff and what they've done. Also, Nancy had an idea for us. She said, I'm laying in bed a little high. Listen to the ATSP when you guys are talking about rock and roll and profiting off their face masks. Could Sasser Salt make KBJ masks with all the shirts, old and new, from your KBJ collection of sayings with profits going to little smiles? Just a random high 4 a.m. idea. Yeah, who knows? If this thing continues on and face masks are a thing, then, you know, if there's a way to do that to help people, we might definitely consider that.
Yeah, I know those girls are always up for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, I wasn't trying to be... I wasn't trying to be fresh.
I don't know what they do in the bedroom.
When I say anything, I meant, can they make pants?
Oh, boy. You all right there?
Oh, gross.
You made me sneeze.
Sneezing?
Oh, I made you sneeze.
You did.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't being sexual. I'm thinking, can they do anything?
Are you talking about just like
pants?
Making stuff?
Yeah. Oh. If I wanted a Bigfoot cape, could that happen?
Sure.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, a cape. The cape, yeah.
Why? You want to use it in the bedroom?
With what, myself? It's real hot role playing with yourself. Oh, you like that shit? Yeah, Bird, I love it.
And Kelly sent this in as a nice call them out. She said, can you please call out this charity for helping the family of the sheriff that passed away from coronavirus? We could really use some help getting the word out about our charity. Many officers aren't aware of our charity, and we exist to help them in their time of need. The Law Enforcement Assistance Foundation donated $10,000 to the family of Sergeant Jose Ayala Diaz from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, who died battling COVID-19 on April 5th. LEAF is a Palm Beach County charity that provides financial assistance to law enforcement officers that are seriously injured in the line of duty or who have suffered a catastrophic event, and the families of officers killed in the line of duty. Thank you so much for all you do, KBJ. You really helped this mom of three kids during this challenging time. So, yeah, there you go. The word is out. The Law Enforcement Assistance Foundation, LEAF, is what it's called, just to let people know.
LEAF.
All right, so thank you very much. Yeah, definitely want to get the good news out. So if you got something to share with us, please let us know.
I had a question for you, Kev.
Yeah.
What is this from? It's a song. You just said something that reminded me of it. Who sings this song? Beef, 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 beef bologna. Beef, 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 beef bologna. Mm-hmm. What's that from?
No idea.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
What is that?
I thought that was a famous song.
Was it?
I apologize if it's not.
Is it a commercial or is it a real song?
I thought it was a real song back from the punk, the hair band days. Beef, beef, beef.
Yeah, I don't think I know that.
All right. Yeah, I fucked up the podcast.
Now we gotta go. Well, if anybody knows, you can let us know. Well, tonight, 5 o'clock, Facebook, we will be back from our own homes with our own cocktails, having scavenger hunts and playing drinking games and all kinds of fun stuff. And you can just jump in and join along. We'd love to get your comments and love to have you there with us. So hopefully we will see you then. Make sure you tune in today at 1 o'clock as well to 97.9 WRMF. They got the soundtrack for the Blue Angels flying above that you can check out.
That should be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can also hear the KBJ replay at 6 p.m. tonight on 97.9 WRMF. You guys have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.